Hey, come on, all across this place, would you lift your hands, give some glory, give some honor, give some thanksgiving. Come on, let's just take 40 seconds right now, and let's begin to pour our praise, begin to pour our worship. Come on, don't wait till the final night of youth camp, young person. Don't wait till the altar call, youth leader. Come on, right now, let's turn this room into a praise offering to the King of Glory. He's holy. He's wonderful. There's no one like Him. There's no one like Jesus, the Lamb of God, who was slain, who is risen, who's alive, who's seated on the throne, reigning at the right hand of God. There's no one like You. There's none beside You. You are holy. You are worthy. You are wonderful. God, we give You honor. God, we give You glory. Oh, You're awesome. You're awesome. You're awesome, Jesus. You're awesome, Jesus. Come on, from the front to the back, left to the right, lift your hands to heaven. Jesus, we acknowledge that You're here. We thank You that You're in this room. We recognize that the Spirit of the Lord is in this place. And tonight we start our whole camp by simply saying, welcome, Holy Spirit. You're not an inconvenience. You're not a thing on the side. You are the main event, God. You're the desire of our heart. You're the guest of honor. God, I ask that You would come, that You'd settle in, that You'd rest upon this room. Let not one person leave Summer Camp 2026 the same. Let the fire of heaven come. Let the wind of Your Spirit blow through. Would Nation's youth ministry never be the same? Not just one campus, but every location. Will 2026 be a year like none other? God, would You come tonight? Just take 30 seconds. Don't be in such a hurry to rush or move on in your mind, and just behold the Lord, He's here. Acknowledge You, God. Just say these words out loud with your own mouth. Say, come, Holy Spirit. We welcome the Spirit of the Lord, not just into the room, but into our personal lives. God, You're so precious. You're so wonderful. I can even sense right now there are hearts that are burning. David would write in the book of Psalms, as the deer thirsts for rivers, so my soul thirsts for You. I can sense there are thirsty hearts in this room. Father, I pray, would You satiate every thirst with Your very presence. God, we haven't come tonight to hear a message from me. We haven't come tonight because we serve on a team. We haven't come tonight to tick a box because it's part of our role. We've come tonight to meet with You. We repent of any other motivation than You, Lord. Right now, we lay aside any other priority than You, Lord. We say just at the start of this camp, come, precious Holy Spirit. Come land, come touch, come fill. Would we never be the same? We pray this all in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, come on, one more time. Let's just give Jesus 10 seconds of honor. So good, man. Isn't it good to be in the room tonight, Nations Youth Summer Camp? Isn't it good to be in the presence of Jesus tonight? Is anyone here from our Belmont family? Make some noise. Oh, yeah. Wow. Wow, Belmont knows how to show up, that's for sure. Anyone from our Maori fam in the house? I feel like numerically it was more, but the effort was better from Belmont. And so, I just personally, Anyone from Nations Youth Port Kennedy in the building?
Let's go.
Nations Youth Bunbury, where you at? Let's go. And the last, but definitely not least, one of my personal favourites, my good friend, Pastor Josh Athry, the leader there. Give it up, Nations Youth Wangara. Let's go. Hey, I'm so excited what God's going to do tonight. You can take your seat, but turn to your neighbour and say, I'm so glad I'm sitting next to you. Hey, if you guys could stay just for a bit. So good. Man, my heart is thrilled and expectant for what God's going to do this weekend. I just feel like God's going to blow you away. And if you've come tonight, there are people tonight, you're brimming with expectation. God's going to meet you at the point of your expectation. And maybe you've come tonight and you're like, man, what if I walked in? I want to just challenge you right now. Turn your expectation on. Get hungry. Get thirsty. Come on. Lean in. If I'm sharing something or if anyone says something that resonates, say yes and amen. Come on, somebody. Write it down. Have a posture of expectation, a posture of faith. Why? Because when we come with a posture of expectation, it positions us to receive all that God wants to do. And I really believe this next 3 days is going to be life transforming. It's also a huge honor and privilege to have not only our senior leadership team from Nations Church, but our executive, as well as our senior pastor, Pastor Ken Lee. Can we give it up for Pastor Ken, Pastor Shannon, Yanka, Pastor Mel, all of our exec members. Come on, Nations Youth. Can we just thank these guys? We love you tonight. We honor you. I personally wouldn't be where I am today if it wasn't for yes to Jesus. So I just want to publicly honor you, PK. Thank you for your life laid down. You're a man of God, and I'm so grateful for you in my life. One more time, give it up for Pastor Ken. We love Pastor Ken. As well, all the way from Morayfield, Queensland, Pastor Harry Slade, everyone. So good. It's awesome. Hey, who here is hungry for the Word of God? Like 12%. Who here is hungry for the Word of God tonight? Like 75%. Anyone so hungry you brought your Bible with you to Nations Youth Summer Camp? We're having a Bible revival tonight. If you've got your Bible, I want you to go to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter number 10. We're going to read the whole passage tonight. Open your Bible. If you fail to bring your Bible, bring it next year, but it will be on the screen on my left and on my right. I want to read this passage of Scripture, really the key theme of our camp. If you're there, say, I'm there. And why don't we kick it old school? Let's honor the Word of God. Let's stand to our feet if you're able to, all across this room, as we open Scripture tonight. 1 Samuel chapter number 10. You know, I really believe this passage isn't just a nice Scripture to think about. I believe it's a prophetic template of what God wants to do in this room. I believe it's almost a menu of what is available to you and I tonight. And so my prayer is that as we read it, you wouldn't just think, that's really cool that God did that back then. It would awaken a hunger and an expectation in you for God to do it again tonight. Can someone say amen? 1 Samuel 10 verse 1, then Samuel took a flask of olive oil and poured it on Saul's head and kissed him, saying, has not the Lord anointed? Someone say anointed. Anointed you ruler over his inheritance. When you leave me today, you will meet two men near Rachel's tomb at Zelzah on the border of Benjamin. They will say to you, the donkeys you set out to look for have, turning the page, been found. And now, someone say, and now. Your father has stopped thinking about them and he's worried about you. He is asking, what shall I do about my son? Then you'll go on from there until you reach the great tree of Tabor. Someone say Tabor. Three men going up to worship God at Bethel will meet you there. One will carry three young goats, another three loaves of bread, and another a skin of wine. How do you know that's like a weird thing to walk into? They will greet you and offer you two loaves of bread, which you will accept from them. Verse number 5, after that you will go to Gibeah of God, where there is a Philistine outpost. As you approach the town, you will meet a procession of prophets coming down from the high place, with lyres, timbrels,
pipes and harps being played before them, and they will be prophesying. How many of you know when people are carrying an atmosphere of heaven and they come into contact with someone who isn't yet in that atmosphere, how many of you know what's on them gets on them? The Bible says at verse number 6, the Spirit of the Lord will come. The Spirit of the Lord will come powerfully upon you. And you, someone say you. Turn to your neighbor, say you. You will prophesy with them. And you will be changed. Someone say changed into a different person. Once these signs are fulfilled, do whatever your hand finds to do, for God is with you. Go down ahead of me to Gilgal. I will surely come down to you to sacrifice burnt offerings and fellowship offerings. But you must wait 7 days until I come to you and tell you what you are to do. As Saul turned to leave Samuel, God changed Saul's heart. And all these signs were fulfilled that day. When he and his servant arrived at Gibeah, a procession of prophets met him. The Spirit of God came powerfully upon him. Aren't you grateful we serve a God who does what he says? Aren't you grateful we serve a God, not just of promise, but of promises fulfilled? We don't just serve a God who asks us to seek him. We serve a God who actually reveals himself to us when we seek him. We don't just seek him. He is the rewarder of those who seek him. Can someone say amen? The Spirit of God came powerfully upon him and he joined in their prophesying. When all those who had formerly known him saw him prophesying with the prophets, they asked each other, "What is this that has happened to the son of Kish? Is Saul also among the prophets?" Is Saul also among the prophets? How many of you know Saul wasn't a prophet? He was a king. But what was on them got on him. I want to tell someone tonight that we've come to this room and we've called this camp "The Spirit of the Lord Will Come." And I don't know if you can sense, but he's already here. The atmosphere of heaven is in the room. I even prophesied the heavens are opened. Healings and miracles are available. Prophecy is accessible. Life transformation is at the tip of your fingers, young person. I want to challenge you tonight, just as it was for Saul in 1 Samuel 10, the atmosphere he walked into, he didn't just sense it, it got on him. I prophesy tonight, you're not just going to sense the anointing, the anointing's coming upon you. What is in this room is coming on your life. Youth pastor, what is in this room is coming on your youth ministry. I want to speak to the parents. What's in this room is coming into your family tonight. Why? Because when the Spirit of the Lord comes, he comes upon you. He touches you. He changes you. He releases things into your life and you are never the same again. Someone say, the Spirit of the Lord will come. We called this camp "The Spirit of the Lord Will Come" because we felt it was just a prophetic statement of what God wanted to do. And I really feel tonight it's a blueprint that I just want to teach for a bit, and then we're going to open the altars and allow God to do what God wants to do. But the title of my sermon, if you're taking notes, is simply this: what happens when he comes? Because the camp is the Spirit of the Lord will come. We're here. He's here. But tonight, it's not a polished message by any means that's going to be preached around. It's literally just meant to whet your appetite for what God wants to do in this room tonight. For what God wants to do tomorrow afternoon. What God wants to do tomorrow night. And even on Sunday night as we gather together as a whole church family, I believe it's going to stir expectation inside of you. Not just for what God wants to do in the room, but for what God wants to do in you. Can you say amen? So every person, lift your hands high to heaven. Say this prayer out loud. Say, "Precious Holy Spirit, I ask, come not only to fill the room, but fill me. Come upon me. Touch me. I yield my whole body to you. I ask, let my life, let my family, let my future never be the same. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen." Let's give Jesus a clap of praise. Amen. 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 We love you, Jesus. You're wonderful. You guys can take your seat. Can we thank the team, the band? Amazing. You guys were phenomenal tonight. Come on, can we give a round of applause, Nations Youth? The Spirit of the Lord will come. What happens when he comes? You know, I've got 3 points tonight. according to this passage, what we see in Scripture happens when God comes. It says in verse number 6, the Spirit of the Lord will come powerfully. Someone say powerfully. Powerfully upon you, and you'll prophesy with them. The English Standard Version says, then the Spirit of the Lord will rush upon you. Someone say rush. I want to tell you tonight, what happens when He comes is, number one, suddenly has become normal. How many of you know that we serve the God of the suddenly? I love the Scripture says, the Spirit of the Lord will rush upon you. Have you ever had a time that the Holy Spirit's rushed upon you before? It was like, 1 minute you were in this headspace, you were thinking these thoughts, feeling these, then all of a sudden your whole reality changed. Why? Because God came suddenly. How many of you know we serve the God of the suddenly? I believe and I just prophesy, this camp is going to be filled with suddenly moments in God. Where you might not even be thinking about anything, but all of a sudden you sense the Spirit of God begin to touch you in the middle of worship. You might be praying for someone, all of a sudden you get a picture in your mind's eye of what God's doing in their life. You might be up the front and someone's praised for you, and all of a sudden God does something in you. We serve the God of the suddenly. Can you say amen? When the Spirit of the Lord comes, suddenlies become normal. The Bible says in Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, they're all together in one place when suddenly, someone say suddenly, there was a sound like a mighty rushing wind. See, God demonstrates through Scripture when He comes, there is a sudden movement to it. Young person, year sevens in this room, listen to me. I want to get your heart ready for the suddenly of God. Because although the Bible talks about God coming suddenly, just because He comes suddenly doesn't mean He comes randomly. I want to tell you tonight, God comes to prepared people and prepared places. Suddenly doesn't mean, oh, wow, I didn't expect that. Suddenly just means all of a sudden. How many of you know Saul was expecting the Spirit of the Lord to come upon him? Why? Because Samuel the prophet the day before said, He will come suddenly. I want to tell someone in this place, tonight's the night to turn your expectation on. Tonight's the night to say, I'm coming to this camp and I'm going to experience Jesus like I've never seen Him before. I'm coming hungry. I'm not coming just to hang out with that girl or that boy I've got a crush on. Come on, somebody. I'm not coming just to eat the food. I'm not coming just to play FIFA. I'm coming to meet with Jesus in this place. I want to stir your heart for a suddenly with God. Because how many of you know after a suddenly, everything changes? Can I tell you about a suddenly I had in my life? I was on a little trip with some friends of mine in Melbourne a few years ago. Celine was there. Celine was there indeed. All right, who loves it when Celine gets touched by God? It's just like, I feel like I could reenact it, you know. I actually nearly went down there. We were in a room and we were eating donuts and coffee. How many of you know that's glorious right there? We were chatting, we were hanging out, chatting with some team there, just talking life. And then we left the donut shop because it was closing, and we're just walking down the road, and we walked back to the building. The conference we were at was finished. Everything was done and dusted. We were just literally going back there. We're going to jump on a tram and go home. When all of a sudden, we get invited into this upper room. And there was this senior pastor's session at this conference. Now, I'm not a senior pastor. Celine's not a senior pastor. Josh is a step closer now that he's a campus pastor. I'm just kidding. I'm being naughty. But all of a sudden, we get invited into this room, and we're just standing at the back, and it's a small room. There's like 30 people in the room, and there's just a couple of people on stage that were from the conference. They saw us like, yeah, you guys come forward. And the four of us get rushed up the front. And I want to tell you tonight, young person, I had one of the most significant encounters with God in my life. One moment, I was eating donuts and drinking coffee, and all of a sudden, I was on the floor groaning out loudly. I'm not just talking, you know how like some people encounter God and it's beautiful and it's like, Jesus, you know? Just, this was like a uncontrollable. I hit this new frequency I'd never hit before. It was like a, you know, just like, the room starts vibrating. The power of God hit me so much, I lost all bodily function. I couldn't control my body. I couldn't move. I couldn't control my speech. The Holy Ghost just suddenly touched me. The only practical problem is before that, the Holy Ghost had touched my friend Josh. And so I didn't fall to the ground, I fell on Josh. And Josh was trying to get out, but I can't move because I've lost my control and he's underneath me. And for about 30 minutes, I laid there as the Spirit of God marked my life, touched my life, did something drastic in me. Now, I love a suddenly, but I just want to preface it. The suddenly isn't about the moment. It's actually more about what happens after the moment. See, some of us, we shun encounters like, oh, mate, that's all performance. That's just the hyper-spiritual people. I don't need that. I want to tell you, you're not above the Bible tonight. Because this isn't a new experience, this is a biblical experience. The Bible says in the book of Acts that they saw, someone say saw, that when they laid hands on the believers, the Holy Spirit fell upon them. So there was some physical evidence of the Holy Spirit coming. I want to tell you, physical evidence of the Spirit of God is biblical tonight. This is the God, when Jesus was getting arrested, and they came to arrest Jesus, and they said, hey, we're looking for Jesus of Nazareth. Have you seen? What a stupid question to ask the Son of God. We're looking for Jesus of Nazareth. And he turns to them and says, I am he. And all of these Roman soldiers whoosh, fall back under the power of God. Where's falling over in scripture? It's right there. In Psalm 23, he makes me lie down in green pastures. Have you ever had God make you lie down before? See, the Spirit of God came suddenly upon me and just for time's sake, what happened in me, something just became awoken and my prayer life went to a new level of experience and I saw God to begin to do things in ministry beyond that, that I never see. It was almost like there was a deposit and then I saw the fruit in the days to come. Sometimes we don't know the fullness of what God does in a moment until months later. Where it's like, man, I don't actually get angry anymore. I don't really struggle with irritability anymore. Like that person was really frustrating, but I was soft. And God, what's happened? God is transforming you as you lay there on the operation table of the Lord. The Spirit of God is transforming. He's touching. He's changing your life. See, the Spirit of God came suddenly upon my life. But I want to tell you tonight, even though it was suddenly, it actually wasn't randomly. Sometimes we see people in meetings get touched by God, and we think that's just God's favorite. They're always getting the prophetic word. They're always falling on the ground. They're just a show person. It's all performance for them. They're just drawing attention to themselves. What I've learned in God is that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, he will reap. See, you might see the reaping in a moment at an altar. What you don't see is the years of sowing when no one's there. What you don't see is the prayers prayed on their bedroom floor and their knees. What you don't see is the Bible read at 5 a.m. What you don't see is the day fast on end. What you don't see is the listening to sermons when they're at the gym, not listening to insert secular music here. Why? Because what you sow, you reap. And although it was suddenly, what God did in me, it was after the season of deeply seeking the Lord. And I just feel prophetically, I feel to prophesy right now. There are people in the lead up to this camp, you've been seeking Jesus. You've been hungering for God in a way you've never hungered before. You've been thirsty for God. You've been doing things you've never done before. And I just feel to prophesy to you tonight and say, get ready. You're about to encounter God, the rewarder. He's not a man that he should lie. He will reward those who diligently seek him. The reward is in this room. In about 20 minutes' time, I can see him now. He's going to start touching people all across this place. Some of you, even before someone can lay a hand on you, the Spirit of God's going to come upon you. Why? Because it's not about man's hand, it's God's hand. On the day of Pentecost, there was no laying out of hands, but there was lots of Holy Spirit filling people. He might use hands, but he might use tongues of fire. He might use falling over. He might just use joy. He might use peace. He might use anything he wants. We don't control what it looks like, but we posture ourselves in hunger. And you know the good thing about our God is when he comes for one, he actually comes for all. You might be here and you're like, Matt, I actually haven't been living a good Christian life these last few weeks. I've actually fallen back into sin. You know, I was doing so good in term four, man. I was like, really, just seeking Jesus. I had my Bible plan, but I haven't picked up my Bible for 3 days. I haven't been a good Christian. I want to tell you good news tonight. The mercy of God is here for you tonight. I want to challenge you, even if you haven't done well, which is terrible language, if you haven't been performing, we don't serve a God of performance. I want to tell you, God's still here in this room, and He's not just here for the hungriest one, He's here for you too. No matter how you've come tonight, you might have come and your mom forced you to come, there's a suddenly for you. You might have come and your connect leader signed you up and you were like, it's low-key against my will, but I just happen to be here. There's a suddenly for you. You might come here with any attitude. I want to tell you, turn on your expectation because God is here for you tonight. I love the story of Cornelius. Someone say Cornelius. He was this Italian Roman centurion in like the first century AD. And he was a man of faith. He was a man of prayer. He was seeking God. And an angel shows up to him one day while he's praying and is like, Cornelius. And he's like, hello, Mr. Angel. And the angel's like, hey, your prayers that you've been praying, they've been remembered before God, and so have your gifts to the poor. And so now go send for a man named Peter, and he's got something that I want you to hear. And so he goes and gets Peter, and Peter comes, and Peter preaches the gospel, not just to Cornelius, but to Cornelius' whole household. And Cornelius' whole household gets born again. They believe in Jesus. They get baptized, and the church goes from Jew only to Jew and Gentile. We are in this room because one man, Cornelius, sought God. But what challenges me is the Bible says that it was Cornelius' prayers, Cornelius' hunger. Verse number 1 of Acts chapter 10, at Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion in what was known as the Italian regiment. He and his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. One day about 3 in the afternoon, he had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God saying to him, Cornelius. Cornelius stared at him in fear. What is it, Lord? He asked. Then the Lord, angel of the Lord answered, your prayers and the gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. Now send men to Joppa to bring back a man named Simon, who's called Peter. Simon comes, he preaches. We jump down to verse 44. And I love this. It says, even as Peter was saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell upon all. Someone say all. Come on, say it with a bit of faith. Say all. All who were listening to the message. The Jewish believers who came with Peter were amazed that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on Gentiles too, for they had heard them speaking in other tongues and praising God. I love it. The Holy Spirit didn't just come for Cornelius. He came for the whole household. Yes, He is the rewarder of those who diligently seek Him, but when Jesus comes for one, He comes for all. No matter what condition you are in tonight, no matter where your heart is at tonight, even if you don't believe in Jesus tonight, I want to tell you, Jesus is in this room. The Spirit of the Lord is here. And He's not just here for the select few, He's here for you. When Jesus comes for one, He comes for all. On the way to Jairus' daughter's house to heal Jairus' daughter, a woman with an issue of blood touched his hem and she experienced healing. Jesus wasn't there for her, but her expectation was enough to stop the power of God and cause it to redirect towards her. I want to tell you tonight, even if you're a youth leader, if you're a staff member, and Jesus is on His way to the youth and to the teenagers, to the hungry, I want to tell you, if He's here for one, He's here for all. He's here for you. There's a suddenly for you. Let me whet your appetite with expectation. We serve the God of the suddenly, and suddenlies are available. Suddenlies are in the room. Suddenlies are going to happen. Suddenlies aren't limited to an altar call. Suddenlies can happen in the middle of a message. In Peter's sermon, this Holy Spirit gave the altar call. I'm believing this camp. God's going to touch. God's going to move. What you need to do is stay hungry, stay expectant, stay open, and be yielded to Him. It says He fell on all who were listening to the word. Time to keep your attention focused on God. Lean into Jesus and watch what He's going to do in your life. Point number one, suddenly has become normal. Is this okay so far, Nations Youth? Is your hunger getting lifted in this place? There goes my phone. Thanks for the gift, everyone. Point number two, when He comes, what happens when He comes? Number two, prophecy begins to flow. When He and His servant arrived at Gibeah, a procession of prophets met Him. The Spirit of God came powerfully upon Him, and He joined in their prophesying. Isn't that interesting? When all those who had formerly known Him saw Him prophesying with the prophets, they asked each other, what is this that has happened to the son of Kish? Is Saul also among the prophets? Now, technically, Saul was not a prophet. He was a king. A procession of prophets met him, and the Spirit of God came powerfully upon him, and he joined in their prophesying. See, what was on them got on him. And I just really got the sense that this camp, the Spirit of the Lord will come. There is an open heaven for prophecy in this place. There are times and places in God where the Spirit of God comes to do specific things at specific times. We even see it in Jesus' ministry. He's teaching, and the Bible says, and the power of the Lord was present to heal. See, God comes to accomplish certain things. And I just sense there is an air and a flow of the prophetic in this place. And what I love about this passage today, is Saul one of the prophets? In other words, Saul wasn't normally a prophetic person. And I just feel at this camp, there's going to be some significant prophetic words spoken over individuals, but they're not always going to come from Pastor Nikki or Pastor Harry or someone on the platform. It might come from if you're a leader, it might come from another leader. It might come from your connect group leader or volunteer. It might come from a staff member. But I believe there is an opening of the prophetic available in this place. The prophetic that releases you into what God has for you. There is nothing like a prophetic word that catalyzes you into the calling of God, that launches you into all that God has for you. And so I want to just share, and I really felt to do this tonight, to take 5 minutes to teach in how to manage prophetic words. Because so many people have a really well-meaning Christian pray for them, like, I just see Africa. And Africa, that's it. And you're left like, I guess I'm going to Africa now. You know, you call your wife, babe, we're going to go to Africa. Like, you're 12. How are you? And so this is really just an insert to make sure you don't end up in Africa unless God wants you in Africa. How do we manage prophetic words? And I think we run into confusion when we apply an Old Testament standard onto New Testament. So in the Old Testament, the Spirit of the Lord wasn't on everyone. He rested on kings, on prophets, and on priests. That was it. And maybe on a few random people that at ad hoc times. Why? Because Jesus hadn't died on the cross. Sins couldn't have been forgiven. There was no landing space for the Holy Spirit. In the New Testament, though, the Bible says, I'll pour out my Spirit upon all people. Someone say, all people. And your sons and daughters will prophesy. Someone say, prophesy. So in our environment here, not only is the Spirit on everyone, but prophecy is available to everyone. And so it's not just the prophet that prophesies, it's the Christian that prophesies. Turn to your neighbor and say, you can hear the voice of God. Turn to your other neighbor and say, I don't know if you know, but you can hear the voice of God. Now turn to the person behind you and yell it. You can hear the voice of God. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14, 29, two or three prophets should speak and the others should weigh. Someone say weigh. Carefully what is said. What's challenging to me about the Bible is this. The onus of testing prophetic words wasn't only on the person prophesying, it was on the one receiving. And so if someone gives you a word, they pray for you and it doesn't line up, even if it's your leader, even if it's me, even if it's guest pastor, so and so, you might think, man, how could this person get it wrong? I want to challenge you. The responsibility of the test isn't always up to them. It's actually up to you. This is how you prevent yourself from confusion. This is how you prevent yourself from following something that isn't God. I want to tell you tonight that God has said through his word, John 10, 27, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. You can hear the voice of God tonight. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5, 20, do not scoff at prophecies, but test. Don't say test. Test everything. Say everything. The Bible says when you get a prophetic word, if you get a download, it's your responsibility to test it. Turn to your neighbor and say, test it. See, the Bible says, test everything but cling to what is good. In other words, maybe not everything shared is worth clinging to. But the responsibility of discerning what is and isn't is your responsibility with God. because you can hear the voice of God yourself, the Lord can confirm, affirm whether it is His voice or is not His voice. At some point, every Christian needs to learn how to follow the Lord's voice themselves. We can't live following the voice of God through someone else. We must live following the voice of God for ourselves. But before we just go like, all right, cool, I'm just going to do whatever God tells me to do and not listen to anyone else, that is not what I'm saying. The Bible says test everything. Someone say test. I want to give you some tests that will protect you and help you so that you don't end up in Africa if God doesn't want you there. Number one, ask yourself, is it biblical? Does this line up with the Word of God? God is not a man that He will lie. He never changes. Yesterday, today, forever the same. So if God speaks, it's not going to go against anything in this. And so how can you test it if you don't know the Word? Some of you have been saying, God, I want you to speak to me. And tonight God's saying, I want to give you an appetite for my Word. Why? Because before we hear what God is saying, we must learn what God has said. We must ground ourselves in what He has said. His Word is written in heaven. It is eternal. Some of you don't realize this. You're going to be reading your Bible in heaven. You don't get to heaven and graduate the Bible. The Word of God is eternal. From everlasting to everlasting, it's important we have a generation that don't just bring their Bible to youth ministry, but learn to live in the Word. Where the Word gets in their soul. Number one, test it. Is it biblical? Number two, ask yourself, is there an internal witness in me? The Bible says, Romans 14, verse 17, the kingdom of God is not food and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So we don't live by feelings, but there is a part of experiencing the kingdom that does have a feeling to it. Peace and joy. Ask yourself, when that person shared that, did it feel peaceful or did it feel kind of like anxious, provoking? Was there a joy inside provoked or was there kind of a disappointment and sadness released? The Bible talks about Elizabeth coming into contact with Mary and the Bible says her baby leapt within her womb. There's something about the prophetic that when they share it, something coming alive inside of here. Something's leaping inside of you. I want to encourage you to pay attention. What is happening in me as someone's praying for me? Number three, confirmation. Is this the first time I've heard it? The Bible says, let everything be confirmed by two or three witnesses. And so if it is the Word of God and if it is the calling of God, I've got good news. It's not going to be the last time you hear about it. And so what you can do is I'm not sure if I'm called to go to Africa or not. So I'm going to take it. I'm not going to disregard it because the Bible says don't scoff it. I'm going to put it on the shelf and I'm just going to stay hungry and listening to God. And then if another word comes and another word comes and another. And what I've learned about God is the more serious the word, the more times He says it. Your calling in God is not going to be missed because you missed one altar call one time. No, He's going to confirm and affirm that thing over and over and over again. The next question is there other people in my life that can attest to this? What does my Connect leader say? What does my campus pastor say? What do my parents say? Sometimes God will speak to you not only through moments on altars, but through authorities in your life. And through calibration, you can learn, is this God or is it not? And over the process of time, over the process of confirmation, it becomes clearer and clearer and clearer. The Bible says, do not scoff at prophecies, but test everything and hold on. Someone say, hold on. Cling, it means, to what is good. So that means you write it down. You pray it over yourself. You go back to it. You learn to marry your soul to it. And that's how you steward what God says. Some of you, God's going to speak to you tonight, but it's going to become a weapon this year that you pray over yourself, that you declare over yourself. I want to challenge you tonight. The onus of responsibility isn't just on the one praying, it's on the one hearing. And so maybe you are someone praying. If you're a leader in this place, I want to challenge you. Ask people for feedback. Hey, did that line up for you? Have another leader listen while you pray. The Bible says that the soul and the spirit are closely connected. And so sometimes we've got to be careful we don't confuse the Holy Spirit with our own soul. Maybe the Holy Spirit gives you a picture of a broken heart and you know that they've got a bad relationship with their dad. And so you just jump to the conclusion, yeah, God's just showing me your relationship with your dad right now. No, He hasn't. He showed you a picture of a broken heart. The spirit and soul is close. You got to stay in the spirit
and not confuse the two. How do we get the division? The word of God is the dividing. So we need the clarity of God's word. For leaders in this place, I want to encourage you, speak slowly, speak clearly, actually give language that's safe. And I believe that there's going to be a prophetic flow, not just on the platform. It's going to be at the back of the room. It's going to be at the dining table at dinner time. It's going to be in the swimming pool at Swan Valley, the beach at Earn Halliday. Come on, somebody. Why? Because the atmosphere is not just on one, it's on everyone. Point number one, suddenly it's become normal. Number two, prophetic begins to flow. And number three, I want to invite our worship team to come join me. The Bible says the Spirit of the Lord will come powerfully upon you and you'll prophesy with them and you'll be changed. Someone say changed. Turn to your neighbor and say changed. Changed into a different person. You know, I believe that a key marker of this camp isn't just going to be suddenly encounters. It's going to be transformed lives. When the Spirit of the Lord comes, suddenly it's begin to happen. Prophecies begin to flow. Number three, if you're taking notes, is this: transformation happens. See, there's something about knowing God's call for your life. But it's a whole different ballgame when you're transformed into the person that can fulfill the call. You know, the Bible says that Samuel anointed Saul and spoke to him about being king, but he still wasn't changed. Do you know you can be anointed but not changed? You can know what God wants to do in your life. You can know what God wants to do in your high school. You can know what God wants to do in your family and still have hidden sin. Still have insecurity, still have anxiety. I believe tonight, young person, the will of God is not just to reveal destiny, it's to transform lives. That we wouldn't just be people that know the call, we'd be people that are transformed into a new person. That word changed, it's the Greek word hafak, which means, well, that sounds really bad. I didn't write it, it's in the Bible, but to turn, to change. Should have gone through these notes beforehand. That was to turn, to change, to retire, to overthrow. There's some mindsets God wants to retire in this place tonight. There's some belief systems God wants to retire in this place tonight. There's a belief system in this room right now. Someone's saying, I can't hear the voice of God. God wants to retire that tonight. There's someone's belief system in this room. You said this to yourself, I will never get free of this thing. God wants to retire that belief system tonight. He wants to stop some things and begin some things. See, change means to totally overthrow, like a kingdom. All of a sudden, you went from the Persian Empire to the Babylonian Empire or vice versa. It's a different kingdom. It's a different rulership. God wants to change your internal kingdom. Some of you got suicidal thoughts, you've got anxiety. God wants to change your internal world. Some of you, even now, as I'm talking, it's like the anxiety is ramping up. It's crippling inside of you. God wants to change you tonight. God doesn't just want you to know His calling. He wants you to be changed into the person that can fulfill the calling, that can know God, that can be different because of Him. Maybe it's your mental health. Maybe for you, it's your sexual identity. Maybe you've given agreement to the lies that will tell you you're attracted to this gender, not that gender. Maybe you've given your confession to these wrong belief systems. You've said things like, I am a luster. Oh no, I'm gross, man. I'm a dirty person. No, you're not. You're a child of God. You might have had a moment that you engaged in lust, but you're a child of God. Some of you, your transformation is going to be actually how you see yourself. Some of you, it's sin being defeated. Some of you, I feel there's a few people in this place, maybe like 3 to 5, and you're stricken with grief and a broken heart. You know, God's transformation extends to your soul. The Bible says He gives beauty for ashes. I believe for you that there's going to be a fresh joy that comes upon you tonight. The Bible says, who can
anyone can bear sickness, but who can bear a crushed spirit? God wants to lift some spirits in this place tonight. Some of you feel like life's just been beating you down. Some of you leaders, you feel like you've gone to trial, to trial, to trial, to trial, to trial. And God wants to transform you from the inside out. That you're not the trial victim, you're the victor in Christ. Overwhelming victory is ours through Him who loved us. See, God doesn't just want to touch you. He wants to change you. You know, Peter had the call of God. Jesus told him, your name's Simon, but it will be Peter. And on this rock, I'll build my church. He knew he was called to be a church builder. Still, he denied Christ. But if you know biblical history, not only in Acts 2 did he stand up and preach and 3,000 got saved, but he ended up being crucified upside down for his faith. Because he said, I'm not worthy to die the same death as my Lord. Crucify me upside down. He didn't just have a good moment, he finished well. But what happened between the Peter that denied Christ and the Peter that went to the cross? Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit came powerfully upon him. See, sometimes we look at these power encounters and you might think it's all a show. I want to tell you, as you lay there, you don't know what God's doing in their heart. You don't know what God's changing, what God's breaking, what God's removing. But I just feel even tonight, the first night of this camp, God's anointing is in this place. And yes, there's suddenly moments that are going to happen. Yes, there's prophecy that's going to flow. But I really feel in this place, this first session of Summer Camp 2026, there is live transformation that's going to take place in this place. It's going to unlock chambers of your heart. You know, the call of God is irrevocable. It's always there, but there's going to be new dimensions of it revealed. It's going to defossil some of the clutter and reveal to you things that have always been in you from when you were born that He wants to do in your life, but it becomes clear as He transforms you. What happens when He comes? Suddenly it's become normal. Prophecy starts to flow. Transformation happens. Would you just prepare your heart right now to meet with Jesus? If you want to put your books away, you can. But God's in this room. He's here. He's in this place. Holy Spirit, we give you the meeting. We can't do it. We can't change ourselves. We can't touch ourselves. We can't prophesy without you. We need you, God. We need you to touch us. We need you to fill us. We need you to speak. We need you to change us, God. I'm asking, Holy Spirit, right now that you'd come into this place, come into this room, and Lord, would you do what only you can do? We love you so much, precious, precious Lord. All across this place, I want to invite you to stay in your seat, but stand to your feet right now. I want to invite you to give your full attention to Jesus in this moment. He's here. He's here. Worship team, can we just begin to minister to the Lord right where you are? Why don't you close your eyes? Why don't you give your gaze and attention to Jesus? We're going to focus on Jesus right now. That's right.
You're all we want. Holy Spirit, come rest on us. You're all we want. You're all we want. Holy Spirit, come rest on us. You're all we want. You're all we want. Holy Spirit.
God. I can feel it in this place. God is here and He's excited, and He's gonna start to fall and touch people in a few minutes' time. But I just picture in my heart, and as I was in worship tonight, I just got that sense of when Noah had finished the flood and they were looking for land, the Bible says he sent out a dove. But the dove returned because it could find nowhere to land. There was no land available. And I just feel the Holy Spirit is looking for people He can land upon in this place. But you got to understand this about the flood. The flood was an Old Testament picture of a new reality in Christ. That God sent a flood to wash the world free of sin, to get rid of the dirtiness. The Bible says there was no one righteous in all the world, and the wickedness was so intense God couldn't bear it. So He sends a flood, cleanses the earth, and then only after the cleansing, as the waters begin to recede and the land begins to rise, does the spirit or the dove find a place to land. And I just feel there are people in this place tonight, and we need to take 2.5 minutes and get our hearts right with God. You can be a Christian, you can still need to get your heart right with God. And the good news is, the way you get your heart right with God isn't by 12 steps to working better. No. The Bible says if we confess our sins to Him, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of unrighteousness. Maybe you're here, can we just keep it a little bit lower, just this moment. Maybe you're here tonight and you're not a Christian. You come to camp, you're like, man, what is this all about? I want to challenge you in this moment to actually invite Jesus into your life and watch what He'll do. Jesus Christ loves you. He died on a cross. He rose again. He poured out His blood to forgive you of your sin. He shed His blood for you. He was whipped. He was beaten. He wore a crown of thorns. They mocked Him. They spat upon Him. They beat His face. The Bible says He was so disfigured one could hardly recognize He was a human. That was the penalty for your sin. Friend, we're all going to stand before God one day and we'll give an account for our sin. The good news is, though, if you turn from that sin and place your faith in Jesus, ask Him to come wash and cleanse you, you'll never have to give an account for your sin. You'll never have to pay that price. It's fully paid for in Jesus. But not only that, you get made white as snow right now. Maybe your conscience is heavy. God can wash your conscience right now. Maybe you're a leader in this place and you've got a fence in you towards someone. God can cleanse you right now. Maybe you've said something to someone. You know, little things grieve the heart of God as well as big things. So I want to invite everyone, and I want to lead you in a prayer, which just invites the Lord to simply pray what the Bible teaches, says, Lord, search me and show me, is there anything offensive in me? Maybe for you, the offensive thing is that you haven't submitted your life to Jesus yet. Tonight's your night to give your life to Jesus. Maybe to you, the offensive thing is the gossip you've been spreading about a friend. You can confess that to Jesus and watch Him come and wash and cleanse. Wouldn't it be good to have a guilt-free conscience tonight? Wouldn't it be good to come to the altar fully confident in God's presence? Not ashamed, not in fear, but in joy, because the blood that once saved is the blood that still saves. The blood that washed you clean 12 years ago is the same blood available to wash you tonight. So every person, every staff member, every leader, every young person, lift your hands all across this place. Say this prayer out loud with me. Say, Dear Jesus, I invite You, come inspect my soul. Come search me, know me, and show me if there is any, and I mean any, offensive thing in me, and lead me on the path of everlasting life. Just be still right now. I see the magnifying glass of the Lord coming and exposing, magnifying, just making you aware right now. That's it. It's the voice of the Holy Spirit. It's our wonderful Counselor. Come, Lord, search us. Know us from the youngest to the oldest, the least to the greatest, God. Person who's been here the most to the newest person in the room, come search, God. Come search, Jesus. Come remove impurity tonight. can remove a fence tonight. Some of you are going to need to have some conversations after this prayer moment, after the service tonight. I want to encourage you to obey the Lord and do that. Some of you might need to delete some things off your phone. Some of you might need to get some accountability in your life after this moment. Do that. Just 10 more seconds. Allow the Lord to search you. Beautiful. Right now, can I just ask all across the place, is there, who in this place has something that they know the Lord's highlighted that they need to confess before Him? Yeah, awesome. Hands everywhere. I want to give a moment for you to pray now. So I'm just going to ask the band, let's just sing Come Rest on Us. And as they sing, I want you to use your own words. The Bible says the power of life and death is in your tongue. So use your words and say whatever it is. For example, if it's anger, confess it. Say, God, I confess I've been angry recently towards this person. I forgive them for what they've done. I ask that you'd forgive me for what I've done. Wash me. Use your words, and as you pray it, believe God's hearing you and His mercy is going to come and wash you. And God is getting hearts ready. And I can say the Spirit of God is about to land. Like, nations, youth, get ready. The Spirit of the Lord is about to come. This is not the service to be like, oh, no, I'll get right later. No, this is the moment. This is the time. Get your heart right with God. You do it through confession and repentance. So bam, let's begin to worship Jesus, and you with your own mouth all across this place have a conversation with Jesus. Ask His blood to wash you. Confess your sin to Him. You can be a leader. You can be a teacher. You can be anything in this place. Confess to the Lord and allow Him to cleanse you. Yellow, next team.